In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading from 1 Peter is going to be the basis for our sermon this Lord's Day. I'm going to start out with a Bible question, and it's one way or another, so you got a 50% chance of guessing it correctly. You know the Ten Commandments. I'm just going to buzz through those real quick. You shall have no other gods. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Obey your parents. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony against your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, so on. Ten Commandments. God gave them to the people of Israel, and Moses was his servant, whom he did that through. He's up there in the stained glass window on the left, and that happened on Mount Sinai. God gave those to the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. Now here's the question. Did God say to his people, do these commandments, and then you're my people? Or did he say, you are my people, do these commandments? Did God say, do these commandments, and then you'll be my people? Or did he say, you are my people, do these commandments? The answer is, you are my people, do these commandments. You are my people, this is how you live. And that applies to us as well. You are God's people. Baptized into his name, he claims you as his own. He says, you are mine, you belong to me. And then he gives us directions on how to live. And that direction is for our good and also for our joy. When we follow God's direction, things work out better for us. They do. And conversely, when we like, oh no, I'm going to go my own way, yeah, things don't work out so well. And the reason for that is we're sinful. And that's one of the reasons every divine service, we have the opening hymn and then we have confession of sins. We come to church. We don't say how great a people we are. We come to church and we say, I'm a sinner, God. I need your forgiveness. I need your word. I need your promise. We as human beings are good. We are good at making poor choices. And I'm going to give you some examples, just kind of general examples. Three of them. First one. In cultures where they have arranged marriages, in other words, somebody else picks out your spouse, usually it's the parents, they have divorce in those cultures. But the divorce rate, somewhere between 4 and 6%. Single digit. Whereas cultures like ours, where you get to pick your spouse, divorce rate, it's around 40 to 50%. Yeah, we sometimes don't make good choices, even when it comes to that important thing of choosing a spouse. Now that I realize there's a lot of factors, I'm generalizing, but it's an illustration how sometimes we just are good at making not good choices. Another example, we are all smart enough to know what we should eat and how much. How does that turn out? Well, let me finish my 64-ounce soda pop so I can wash down my double cheeseburger and fries, and then we'll talk about it. Yeah, we are not very good at feeding ourselves as adults. And the kids, well, you know, we buy them Happy Meals because they like them, it keeps them quiet, and if that doesn't work, well then I'll buy them a cell phone. Yeah, we just are sometimes not very good at making choices. Third example, abortion. Now, besides the Christian aspect of that, which makes it really easy for Christians, that's taking of life. Christians realize that's against God's design. But if you think about it logically, why would it be good for a culture to kill its unborn future citizens? That just doesn't make any sense. Logically, it just doesn't hold together. It's just not good. The largest teachers union in the United States, the NEA, they are a supporter of abortion. You know, that doesn't make any sense. You know, less Less students means we need less teachers. And if you have less teachers, you have less people paying your union dues. It just doesn't hold together. Those are some big picture examples of how sometimes we don't make good choices. And all of us could give personal stories of how we made this or that poor choice. Time when, I wasn't thinking, or I thought I was doing the right thing and it really wasn't good. And that will continue because we're sinful human people. That's not an excuse, but that's why God's word gives us direction. What animal does the word of God most often call us? Sheep. Sheep. That's not a compliment. Sheep are not smart. And I'm not saying that people can't be smart or we can't make good choices. We can. But the word of God is reminding us that we need direction. We don't do very well left to figure it out on our own. We don't. And of course the natural response to that is, I'm different. I'm smarter than the average bear. I'll figure it out. I can do okay without you, God. Well, even more foolish than a foolish person is a foolish person who thinks they're smart. You can't give direction to somebody who doesn't want to receive it. You are a child of God. He claims you as his own. But then he doesn't say, just go and do whatever you want and figure it out on your own. No, God says, I'm going to give you my word to give you some direction. Because he knows that even as Christians, we are selfish and prideful and greedy and want to do what we want to do. And so he takes the initiative and he reaches out to us with his word. He makes us alive and he gives us ears to hear that word. That word which delivers to us wisdom, which you should ask for and pray for and to say, Lord, help me to be willing to receive it. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. House is the same. Difference was the foundation. One built on the rock of God's word and one not. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we hear God's word and we pray for his direction, that word might shape our thinking. And when it shapes our thinking, it also shapes our behavior. We act a certain way because we think a certain way. Peter reminds us, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God gives us his word that we might have direction on how to live. And we pray, Lord, help us to be receptive to that. And help us to follow it. Even then, you can fall off the horse on either side. One side is you'll have people who will turn God's word into legalistic rules, saying you got to do this, this, and this, or else God won't love you. And that's not what the Bible teaches. God loves you. You are his. And then he gives you his word that you might follow it for direction that you would know how to live. Not turn it into a bunch of legalistic rules. That's one error a person can fall into. Another error a person can fall into is say, well, you know, I'm baptized, I'm saved, Jesus loves me, I can do whatever I want, I don't even really need to go to church because I can be forgiven. And that just, they're just lazy Christians. And that's another error a person can fall into. And we kind of sometimes are trying to stay on the horse, vacillating between one side or the other. God gives us His Word that we would have a way and direction how to live, and His blessing and joy in the doing of that. We are saved by grace. We are saved by what Jesus has done for us, and the forgiveness of sins is yours. And then our Lord says, forgive others. Our Lord says, love as you are loved. Our Lord says, bless those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. And that is all really, really hard to do. And we can't do it on our own. So the Lord gives us His Word, His Spirit, that we would be led into that. Peter says it like this: love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. That word has the power to do things we could never imagine. Lord, grant you ears to hear it, heart to believe it, and a life to live that out to the glory and honor of Jesus and His name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.